Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. This is my second try to record this today so far. Apparently, the devil does not like this message, which means we're on the right track. Alrighty then. So, before I tell you what we're going to talk about today, I want to mention something real quick. Is if I don't, it's going to slip my mind. My friend Conrad Carriker just released a new book, and it's called Overcoming Night Terrors. Overcoming Night Terror, not plural, is the name of the book. It's on Amazon.com. It's out in ebook, I know for sure. I don't know if it's out in hard copy or if it's going to be. Conrad, I know him personally, and he only writes when he has revelation. Many of you have written to me over the years that I've been ministering on here and said that you struggle with night terror and you don't know how to overcome it, and I really didn't know how to tell you to overcome it. So he has overcome night terror, apparently had it very badly, and God gave him revelation and he overcame it. Right now, if you are a Kindle Unlimited member, you can read his book for free for a period of, I believe he said, several days. I also shared this on the JPH Facebook page, and I wanted to mention it because it is free for a few days to read if you're on Kindle Unlimited, which is $10 a month. Or if you just want to get a copy of his book, it's not free, I don't think, to just buy the book. But for those of you who need it, Overcoming Night Terror, Amazon.com. If I can remember, I'll put a link to the book in the description here. Okay, so today we are going to talk about vanity. I think this is a very relevant subject right now. I'm fixing to tell you why. Did you know that vanity is connected to iniquity and deceit in the Bible? There are 79 references to vanity in the King James Version of the Bible. In every single verse, it is connected to either iniquity or deceit or both. I came upon that by accident and just found it so interesting, and that's what led to this podcast. Now, we know that Lucifer got kicked out of heaven for being prideful. I want to read you some verses from Ezekiel 28 that talk about him. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. That's vanity, y'all. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Lucifer decided that he was so awesome that he should be God. Vanity originated with Lucifer. Okay. Vanity is a very relevant subject right now. We live in the age of the selfie, do we not? So many people seem to be falling in love with their own faces, with their own bodies, if they're bodybuilders and whatever, but especially their faces. And the fact that vanity is connected to iniquity and deceit, and this is the age of the selfie, we really need to pay attention to what vanity is and try to stay away from it as Christians. So vanity in verse 15 of the verses I'm about to read you is defined in the Strong's as emptiness or vanity, or something transitory and unsatisfactory. It comes from a root word that means to act or speak vainly, to have a vain hope. Vanity is basically idolatry of your own face, your own body, your own look. It's idolatry of yourself. 2 Kings 17. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes, this is verse 15, and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. So vanity and idolatry caused the Lord to reject them, afflict them, deliver them to spoilers, and cast them from his sight. That's pretty serious. Idolatry, for those of you who don't know, is an extremely serious sin in the eyes of God. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what idolatry is, because in every person's heart, there is a little throne you cannot see. And whatever you love and adore and cherish the most sits on that throne. And just so you know, that throne has God's name on it, but it's not always him we let sit on it. We put our idols on it instead. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you a couple of things right here, and I want you to listen closely to this. And remember, this is very important, because these things are always true. In every idolatry case, these things are always true. This is how God defeats the idols in your life. Anyone or anything that you choose over God will become a curse to you. Please hear me on this. It does not matter if it is a person, a spouse, a marriage, a place, a job, a thing, the way you look, how beautiful your face is, a wife, a child, a grandchild, anyone or anything can become an idol. Okay? Whatever you choose over God, over his word, over doing his commandments, over his will for your life, he will turn it into a curse in your life, and you will grow to despise it. I want y'all to remember that, because it will help you whenever you are faced with the temptation to choose anything over him, even for 5 minutes. If you're tempted to choose anything over God, over his word, his ways, or his will for your life. And remember something else that I told you in the past about idolatry. Idols are gods we make out of something that was never meant to be a god and has no ability to be our god, okay? Things that have no ability, or people that have no ability to lead or deliver us, regardless of what abilities you think they have or what abilities they think they have. You will always have to carry your idol. You will come to despise it, and it will become a burden to you, okay? Anything or person you turn into an idol, you will have to carry it, and it will become a burden to you. There's a man right now listening to this podcast, and you're sitting there nodding your head, yeah, like, yep, I know about that. Idols will always disappoint you, because they have no ability to be a god. Only God can be God, y'all. Only he never disappoints. They cannot provide for you in every circumstance. They cannot protect you in every circumstance. They cannot deliver you. They cannot save you. You cannot cast a demon out in their name. They cannot be your God. Idols will always bring confusion. If you get into confusion over a relationship, that's usually a sign that idolatry is there, okay? Isaiah 41:29, behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. And idols always bring shame. Isaiah 44, who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. They bring shame because they never turn out to be what we thought, and we are ashamed before everyone for it. And don't get me wrong, we cannot blame the people that we make idols out of, okay? It's not their fault they can't be God. None of us can be God. All right, only he can be that. He can be God. Because people are not supposed to be our gods. That's our fault. Okay, the Lord said there's a man listening to this podcast right now. And you, sir, are worshiping the woman that you are in love with as a goddess. You have made a god of her. And you even refer to her the way she looks or call her a goddess. You know who you are. The Lord says to you, sir, stop. He said, you know better. You know you're not supposed to be doing that, and you're out of line. He said, if you don't stop, there's going to be punishment for it. Okay, more from that chapter of Isaiah. These verses explain so much. He heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worship it. He maketh a graven image and falleth down thereto. Now we're talking about wood that came from the same tree, all right? He burneth a part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh, he roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, aha, I'm warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down into it, and worshipeth, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Y'all remember the golden calf in the desert? They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. Y'all, please, please hear me on this, because this happened to me. When you get into idolatry, and this is especially true in relationships, when you get into idolatry, this happens to you because you are a Christian, all right? I don't know if it happens to non-Christians, but I promise you it happens to Christians. God will shut your eyes, and here is why. He will shut your eyes, and you will not even realize that person is an idol to you, and you will not realize that you're headed for destruction there because you have chosen something else over him. All right? I told you, he will destroy your idols. Two verses later, after the guy's fallen down to the piece of wood, he feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? He cannot recognize that he's worshiping a lie, okay? That's what it's saying. That is the most terrifying scripture of all to me. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. If God shuts your eyes, can nobody else open them, okay? Nobody can open them if God shuts them. I'm just saying. So he shuts our eyes when we get into idolatry. And I know, because when it happened to me, he kind of gives you a little nudge when you're going there. Like, hey, you know, and he'll nudge you a time or two. But then if you don't turn, and he might even speak to you, but if you don't turn, he shuts your eyes because he's given you over to that idol. The same way that he gives people over to a sin that they choose over his ways, when he gives them over to a reprobate mind. And it is hard to come out of that place because you're blind. You can't see that you even have a problem. Everybody else is trying to tell you, and you're like, nah, it ain't like that. Some of you listening right now, God just showed me, you're going, yeah, that was the way that went too. I know I'm not the only one who's done this. Because if I was the only one who'd done this, God wouldn't give me this show. Okay, back to the connection between vanity, iniquity, and deceit. Jonah 2:8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Boy, we could meditate on that for a whole week. Part of the definition of vanity is that it is useless, like a vapor, like a little puff of smoke, just goes away. Job 7:16, I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Job 15:31, let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. Job 15:35, they conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit. Psalm 4:2, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Leasing is sin, by the way. That word leasing in Psalm 4:2 means anything that seeks to deceive. And it's the same word used for lies in Judges 16:10, which reads, And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. So, that word lies in that verse means anything that deceives or deludes by false hope. You ever had somebody lead you on? Somebody real nice looking, a real pretty woman or something like that, lead you on and give you hope that you could like go out with her and stuff, and then she just dropped you. That's false hope. Psalm 10. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. In other words, I am never going to have a problem I cannot handle. That is pride. There's going to be a lot of people in the end times finding out that they said that and it wasn't true. Okay. Eve was the one deceived by the serpent in the garden, not Adam. Okay? Why? She wanted that knowledge that would make her like God. Okay? But Adam was the one who had a real relationship with the Lord. So Adam feared God. But Eve didn't. It was Adam who said in verse 10, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He was the one who feared God because he was the one who knew God. Nicole and I were talking about this and she hit it on the head when she said Eve got too comfortable with God. That's why Eve had no fear. If you have no fear of God's power, you should be afraid that you have no fear. Can I just tell you that? Eve had no fear. She was unafraid of the consequences of any sin that she did because she didn't believe anything had happened to her for it. Because she did not know God well enough to know better. All right? I worry that the once saved, always saved bunch of people are like this. They don't think their sin means anything, so they can keep on sinning. But the Bible that I read says that Jesus will have a bride without spot or blemish, and willful sin is definitely blemish and spot. Can I just tell you that? And I'm just saying, y'all, there are some people that will be so unafraid in the end times that they will take the mark of the beast and think that God will not hold them guilty. But my Bible says, I want to be really clear about what the Bible says about this point, so there are no misunderstandings, because I don't want anybody who listens to my podcast to have any confusion at all, but especially on this point, because I want to see y'all in heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now that's talking about people that just blatantly go sin and just refuse to believe. Revelation 14, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Hello. Just think about that. Pride will lead you to destruction. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. Y'all, it's in Proverbs. There are so many good scriptures about the destruction of being prideful in the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. Not long ago, I watched a television program about people who own dangerous pets like lions and tigers and venomous snakes. When I wear myself out working, I turn on the television and try to just not work for a while. It's real hard for me to do. Sometimes I don't do it till like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, okay, I have to stop working. So I'm watching this program. I think it was called Fatal Attractions. In every single case, the owners thought they were different. They knew something nobody else knew. Some revelation of how to handle that kind of deadly creature that nobody else knew, and that's why they were safe. And in every case, that pridefulness instilled by the enemy, by the way, it is the enemy who wants you to believe there's no consequence for what you're doing, okay? God just said that's a word for somebody. It is the enemy who wants you to believe there is no consequence for what you are doing. You know who you are. In every case, this pridefulness instilled by the enemy allowed these people that own these dangerous pets to be deceived into thinking that they were safe in close contact with a deadly enemy. In the majority of cases on these shows, they died believing that, as their pets either ate them or injected them with deadly venom that the doctors could not save them from. Y'all think about that, all right? They thought they were different. They knew something nobody else knew. They had some revelation of how to handle these creatures in these situations that nobody else had. So they were safe. Who do you think convinced them of that? Okay. It was their pride that led to that deception every time, and their vanity of thinking they knew stuff nobody else knew, and so they were safe in a situation nobody else on earth would be safe in. They alone were safe. All right, do you see the pride in that? Satan's desire is to lure you into his traps of iniquity and deceit through your vanity and your pridefulness. He wants to snare you into destroying yourself. Please examine your hearts this week. Please, is there vanity there? Is there pride there? Do you catch yourself constantly taking selfies and being in love with your face? It starts out like that, okay? Where is the enemy leading you through that vanity and that pride? Where is he trying to lure you? You need to pay attention while you still can get yourself free. He is setting the traps. Will you be one of the Christians he catches? That's all I have for y'all this week. I pray that this podcast has been a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Do you know someone suffering from domestic violence or another form of abuse like verbal abuse? Did you know abuse has deep spiritual roots that cause abuse to be attracted to a person throughout their lifetime? Now, the Escaping Abuse Study Guide helps you discover and remove those spiritual roots so you won't be an abuse magnet. Get the Escaping Abuse Study Guide or get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. Escaping Abuse Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available now on Amazon.com. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?